Welcome to this edition of the Bear's Den podcast. I'm Matt Bear. For this episode, I am joined by the head boys basketball coach of the Minnetonka Skippers, Bryce Tesdall. Bryce and his team just won the boys class 4A state championship, capping off a fabulous season. Coaching is not new to Bryce or his family. He is the grandson of Bob McDonald, who is the all-time winningest coach in Minnesota boys basketball history. While he is following in his grandfather's footsteps, he is also blazing his own trail. Bryce was also an outstanding player growing up in Crosby Ironton and helped lead them to the state tournament, and also went on to play collegiately at Bemidji State. We chat about playing for a legendary high school coach, their championship season at Minnetonka, and overcoming a losing streak against a longtime conference rival in the state final. But first, let's recognize our sponsor, Midwest Basketball Training. If you are looking to hone your skills or amp up your training, you should check out the MBT facilities or their other player development opportunities. They have now added another facility in Rogers to go along with their other locations in Brooklyn Park, Blaine, and Maple Grove. Visit their website at MidwestBasketballTraining.com for more information. Pat Freeman and his team do a great job working with youth around the metro area. And again, that website is MidwestBasketballTraining.com. Also, if you haven't yet, please subscribe and follow the show wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's head into the Bear's Den for this conversation with Bryce Tesdall. All right, we are joined by Bryce Tesdall, newly crowned state championship head coach of the Minnetonka Skippers. Bryce, welcome to the program.
Hey, Matt, appreciate you having me on.
You bet. I got to admit, I didn't think I'd wade in these waters having a CI Ranger in the Bear's Den, but it's happening. It's happening.
Hey, anything is possible, right?
Right. So let's start there, Bryce. Why don't we start there with the Crosby connection? Obviously, you grew up there. I'm from Aiken. We didn't play against each other, but Crosby is Aiken's biggest rival and kind of vice versa. And I just remember the thing because I didn't play against you, Bryce, but your dad was on the sidelines a lot. How big of influence was your dad? He's assistant coach for Coach Galovich. And then your mom, when we grew up, she was coaching, the Crosby girls team on the court. So how big of influence were your parents on you and kind of getting you into basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a gym. You know, daycare was basically practices or games, from what I can remember. And I got to see both sides of things. I got to see my mom as a head coach and my dad as an assistant coach, both on the boys and girls side. So I spent a lot of time with both programs growing up, and it was kind of cool to see kind of the head coach perspective with my mom and then the assistant coach with my dad. And it was an opportunity to learn at a young age, all the time that put into it. And they were doing both of those and carting myself and my brothers around to our sporting events as well. Obviously, a little bit different in a small town, a lot shorter drives and everything. But, you know, just the amount of time and effort that it gets to put the high school program in a position to succeed, and also the youth program. You know, you can't have a great high school program without a great youth program. And they both spent a lot of times during the week and on the weekend, especially Saturday. Those Saturday mornings were always special for those small town communities of getting the youth in and getting them practicing and playing in games. And those are just some things that I remember at a young age that really energized me to not only be want to be a good basketball player, but also really lit the fire to obviously be a coach someday.
Yeah. Was there one over the other, Bryce, your mom or your dad, that kind of had more of an influence on you or were out with you in the gym or the driveway?
Yeah, well, my mom was a little more relaxed. My dad was always very upbeat and was kind of a yeller, motivator, had really good relationships with everybody. So my mom was kind of the meat in the middle person when it became when it came to my dad and I. We always didn't see eye to eye, but when somebody's pushing you and challenging you and wants to be your best, you cross that road sometimes. But you know, my dad put a lot of time into me as a basketball player, and would obviously spend time, a lot of his time rebounding for me, whether if it was at home in the driveway or up at the school. You know, it helps when both your parents are teachers and coaches, and you can kind of get into the school when you want. You know, those memories will last a lifetime of just all the time that they put into me, and then also all of their student athletes throughout the years that they've been in Crosby. And Crosby is a special place because of the basketball setting on the boys and girls side, where the town kind of rallies around the basketball programs, and really just like I mentioned in that last segment, just kind of lit a fire under me that I wanted to be the best I could as a player and as a coach, and just continue to learn and improve within the game of basketball. It gave my parents and my family so much, and I really wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, no doubt. And your dad, I just remember him, Bryce, when we were growing up playing. Was your dad ever in the military?
It seems like it, but no, he wasn't in the military. But if you didn't know who he was, or were playing on a different team, his voice and just his demeanor might say so.
Yeah, he just and his haircut too. I just remember the crew cut. He's still got it high and tight today, but he, just the way he very strong jaw, the crew cut, and he's got that, kind of deep, loud voice. And I was like, man, this guy, he could be like a drill sergeant or something. I remember he kind of scared us when we were growing up, but he was a very intense figure on the sideline. But that was great to hear that he, was there along the way, ushering you, kind of helping you rebound for you and get the practice in and all that stuff to help make you successful. So, there's also other people in your family too, Bryce, that are in the coaching tree as well. Of course, your grandpa, Bob McDonald, a lot of your uncles and cousins, as well on the McDonald side. How big of a influence was that side of the family for you too?
Yeah, you know, it all really started with my grandfather. Kind of set the tone, and all-time winningest coach for a long time. And anytime you ride that school bus for over 50 years, and I always joke with our kids, they think 30 to 40 minutes is a long bus trip, and they don't understand what it's like playing up north when you're sitting on that thing 2 and a 2.5 hours just for a one-way trip, and then you got to go back, and you're getting gas station or McDonald's or something, and you have to go to school the next day. So our kids think they have it tough sometimes when they have to go to Buffalo or St. Michael, and they've never been to International Falls on a Tuesday. So you know, my mom's side, especially just within the game of basketball, with my uncles, my grandfather, and that was obviously passed down to us grandchildren as well. And it's just, basketball means a lot to our family. It's given us a lot of opportunity to connect, not only with the game, but obviously with our student athletes now that we're coaching, and just the youth in the high school levels, and just family in general. I think, you know, the game can teach you so many life lessons, just because you know, there's adversity, there's challenges, there's ups and downs, there's wins, there's losses, there's good times and there's bad times. And you know, for me to see that at a young age, see how they kind of handled some of the big wins and the big losses, or if something didn't go their way, or if they're winning at the highest level, you know, you can learn from that just from watching. And I got to watch not only my parents from a bird's eye view, but I also got to follow my uncle and my grandpa's team growing up. So I had a lot of different teams and a lot of different coaches to learn from. Obviously, they were all family, so you get to kind of have a in-depth look at their processes every single day, whether if it's a practice or game. And it was just a really neat experience for me to have all of that experience growing up.
Yeah, do you have a favorite like basketball memory with your grandpa? Something either that maybe happened or a story he told you or
Yeah, you know, kind of Christmas time was the when we all got together. We always used to go up to Chisholm. All my mom's side used to gather up there on Christmas Eve or the day before. Sometimes we'd go the day before if my grandpa or my uncle played at Hibbing or Chisholm, and sometimes they played together and played against each other in that game right before the holidays. But you know, it'd be all of us grandchildren, aunts and uncles, and all the husbands and wives in one gym, in the Chisholm gym, which is kind of a cracker box old gym. And sometimes even the it's a we are a Beagle family. My grandparents, my grandpa and grandma McDonald really like Beagles, and a lot of people in our family on my mom's side have Beagles as well. Sometimes they would even join in the gym. But my grandpa used to pay out and pennies, nickels, and dimes for how many shots he used to make in a 30 minutes or an hour process. So everybody was just firing away at the baskets. You know, 17 or 18 grandchildren, and sometimes we'd get the aunts and uncles, moms and dads, to get out there and play against us. So you know, we were always bringing our own jerseys, and sometimes we'd have the Chisholm jerseys on. It was just a really cool experience to have everybody in that one place that really enjoyed the game of basketball. And you know, my grandpa was always a perfect jump shot guy, and that really didn't really correlate to my form at all, or jump shots back in the day. But he was always spending time individually, one-on-one with the grandchildren, trying to fix their jump shot and trying to teach them up and coach them up a little bit. But you know, that's the holidays are always a special time for everybody, and it was a really special time just to go up north to Chisholm and be in that gym, obviously that's named after him now, and just be have that experience with all of them.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. And you mentioned your shot or jumper, or lack thereof, Bryce, but you had interesting form as a player. Did that was just the form that worked for you? Like how did you come up with that? Did a lot of people try to fix it?
People tried to fix it. I mean, I spent a lot of time in the gym, and whether it be my dad, my grandparents, or some coaches. And I finally got to college, and my college coach, Matt Bowen, said, "Hey, if it goes in, if it ain't broke, don't fix it." And obviously scored a lot of points in high school, and I had a good college career at Bemidji. And once I got to college, and he's like, "Just, you know, if you put in the time and it goes in and it doesn't affect your game and you can still get that thing off, just go with it." And I've always been a worker, in that sense. So it might not always look the prettiest, but if you work the hardest, sometimes you can get the results of maybe that somebody has that perfect jumper. But yeah, looked a little goofy coming out of the hand, but when you shoot a high percentage in a game, sometimes you just go with what works.
Yeah, and that was the thing with you, Bryce. I remember you weren't much. You did a lot of things. You didn't just score. You were a great point guard too, and you could see the floor and pass. Like, how much pride did you take in being able to do all those other things too?
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to win. And you try to, obviously, when you can score, and a lot of people get caught up in that statistic of scoring and thinking that's all that matters in the game. But you know, I really fell in love with the assists and setting up others in high school and college. And you know, I think that's a trust factor too with the within the teammates. You know, you might be the best player on the team, but if they can see you trusting them and passing to them, and setting them up for success, you just kind of build that bond even more, from top down. So, I really just fell in love with the result of winning, and I knew I would have to do more, as a leader and as a point guard than just to score.
Yep, no doubt. And when you're at Crosby, Bryce, you played for again another legendary coach, Coach Galovich. He just rolled over win number 800. I don't know how many you're at, but he's at 800, so you probably got a ways to go to catch him. And I have to tease him because I said, "Gally, I'm good for at least six of those 800 wins that you had." That we never beat him when we were on varsity. But what was it like playing for Coach Galovich? How much did you learn about the game from him?
A lot. Again, not the easiest guy to play for, just because he demanded and expected so much on a daily basis. But again, when you want to win, it takes a lot from a preparation standpoint and a work standpoint. And him and my dad were always in the gym, always opening it up during the off season when we could, and then obviously in season we'd do a lot of two-a-days, and our practices were in depth and almost college-like when it came to preparation. And back in the day, they didn't have these games online like they do now. So him and my dad would be on the road basically after practice every single day going to watch an opponent. And like I said about those bus rides, a lot of those opponents that we played are not close in nature, maybe a handful of games. So they were putting in a lot of late nights to prepare for us, but we knew that. And as players, we were going to try to do our part of working hard in practices and then obviously games, trying to get the right result of winning. But that's why he's won. He puts in a lot of time and preparation, and not only to the games, but the practices. And he spends a ton of time way from back from when he started to now into the youth program. He's always got his hands on the kids that are up and coming, even though, I don't know how many years he's got left, but he's always approached it that he's going to be there for a long time. And he's always got his hands in the youth and high school program. And, kids really learn to respect him. And him and my dad are kind of a nice combo where Gally's more of a teacher and my dad's more of a demander, and they kind of gel, especially in those small towns. Those kids are very blue collar, and their parents are making sure that they're on time and doing the right thing. And for them to kind of build that culture and basketball program up there, which with declined enrollment and everything that happens to a lot of these small towns, for them to keep it going, it's pretty special.
Yeah, they've certainly kept it going over the years, that's for sure, and been very successful. So, do you have a good galley story you can share with us, Bryce? From
Yeah, I got a
like,
lot of them.
does he not wash that hideous maroon sweater that he wears, or what?
Yeah, him and my dad have worn that forever. But the one story I have, we used to I have a ton of them, but this is probably the most appropriate one. My junior year, we went up to it was junior or senior year. We went up both years, but we went up to Canada and Winnipeg and played in a tournament. We were the only American team up there, and it was seven other Winnipeg area teams from Canada. It was a great experience. It was kind of like playing in the World Cup, where they had just a bunch of different noises in there and music and playing on triangle backboards. And there was one night, we were directed to be in our rooms by a certain time, either 10:30 or 11. We were leaving for home the next day, and we won it both years. We were up there, and we were out late screwing around in the hotel and playing in the water park. And all of a sudden, him and my dad rolled back in from a restaurant they were at with some other coaches. And we didn't think they saw us, but they did. And we kind of went to bed and found our own rooms. And we didn't re think that we'd get in trouble. And, we got back on Sunday and nobody really said anything. And on Monday, there was just a bunch of towels laying out on the floor, and we were kind of just thinking, what was going on. And I said, "Hey, if you guys want to screw around and not be in a bed on time, we're going to do the towel drill for 30 minutes." So we pushed towels
Oh,
for
no.
30 minutes straight, and there was some pukers, and we didn't get off easy like we thought we would. But that was just that was again them holding us accountable. Even though we were really good, they just weren't going to let anything slip. And that's a credit to them to holding their program and their athletes at at the highest accountability level possible. But we thought we snuck one by them, and we ended up not.
Yep, the adults never miss anything, do they?
No.
Man alive. Oh, that's great. I love it. Well, you obviously had some big success there, Bryce. Let's go to 2008, your senior year. You guys make it to the state tournament and you're in the championship game and you're playing New London Spicer. What was that like from a playing aspect and being a player
Yeah.
in a big event like that?
Yeah, especially in small towns, it feels like you got the whole community behind you. The lights shut off and everybody's down there and supporting you. And you can see it every state tournament you go to. Those 1A and 2A teams just have everybody there, and it's a big, big deal. Even though the 3A and 4A schools are much more populated with students and bigger areas, there's a lot of pride that come from those smaller communities, and to just be down there, you know, we obviously didn't stay down there this week with us being such close to the metro, but a lot of times we stayed down there for 5 days, so it was like a vacation in itself. Going down to Minneapolis, and all we were doing is we felt like we were on an NBA team, you know, going out for meals, going to shoot arounds, practices, and playing games. You know, it was the best thing ever, and then you got to see your fans behind you for 2 hours a day, as well. And everybody was just about you and everything, about Crosby Ironton basketball, during that week. So, to play in it is a special opportunity because not everybody that plays high school sports gets to play in that state tournament, especially a state championship game. So, to have that experience, not only within the week, but to play on the final day, is something that you never forget. And you know, it's one thing to play in it, but also we didn't get the opportunity to win it, but you know, it's hard work to get there, and there's only two teams standing at the end, and one that gets the right result. But just an incredible experience the state tournament week is, from a player, coach, and community standpoint.
Yeah, what do you remember about that game, Bryce? I remember I was there, in attendance, and it was a close game. I think you guys had the lead there for a bit, and then it just kind of got away in the second half. But what do you remember about that game, the game itself?
We were up 7 at halftime. You know, one of our better players, Trevor Dickey, got in a little foul trouble in the first half, and but we were able to survive and sit there with a 7-point lead. And you know, we came out thinking that you know, we could withstand that lead and you know, build on it and not give it up like we did. But you know, it's just one of those halves, and we were undefeated, 32-0. And I was telling our guys this week, I think we put a little too much pressure on ourselves. Crosby has never won it. They've been runner up, I think, 4 or 5 times.
Right.
And we just kind of maybe felt that weight in the second half, and we never really thought about it, maybe until that half. But I think we put a little too much pressure on ourselves to perform and execute when it really mattered. And again, you know, a credit to them for New London for obviously beating us and being better than us, but for those 36 minutes. But you know, just one of those things where you look back on it, it was just a special experience that week of bringing your town there. But when you get there, you want to finish the job. But obviously, it wasn't in the cards for us. But it just speaks to the volume of the program that Coach Galovich has built within the Crosby community of being there and winning there multiple years that he's been there.
For sure. And then was it your goal, Bryce, to play basketball at the next level then from
Yeah, you
Crosby?
know, I wanted to explore. Obviously, recruiting was a lot different back then. No transfer portal, no video. I was from a small town. Obviously, played AAU, but AAU was a lot different back then too. So it was, I would say, a lot tougher to get recruited back then if you didn't live in the metro area, just because you didn't really have that exposure. There wasn't you know, the prep hoops of the world, really getting into all of the kids from the outstate area. So you tried to attend camps and tried to get your name out there as much as possible. And video was just a lot different back then as well. So, you know, I found a home in the NSIC in Bemidji State. I really liked the staff, and they really bought into the vision of me. And I went from a program from Crosby, who was used to winning, and Bemidji was absolutely terrible when I got there. So it was a tale of two worlds. I remember when we, my freshman year, and I got there and we finished, I don't know, 6-20 something. I'm like, hey, what am I doing? And, you know, the transfer thing gets in your head, and you know, you're used to winning, but I stuck it out and reaped the rewards of that, of winning the conference our senior year and being the best team still in Bemidji State history. But that was a great learning experience in itself too, spending 4 years there, two of them that we didn't win much, and one of them we were the best team ever to be on campus. So it just speaks to sticking things out when things may not go your way, or you're not winning.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's really cool, Bryce, to hear you talk about that. Like, you're only there 4 years, and two of them were really bad, but two of them were really good, including your last one, which was the best ever. You know, it's kind of like, you know, my season with the Timberwolves. Now, again, I'm not a player, but our first year we go to that I work there, we go to the Western Conference Finals, and I'm thinking this is going to be the norm. Then we didn't make the playoffs for 16 straight years, you know, and now We've got a chance to win 50 games if we win tomorrow night for the first time in 20 seasons.
Yeah.
So if you stick it out, things are up, they're cyclical, you know?
Yeah.
It's just how quickly does it happen for you? So yeah, you had a great playing career, Bryce. You wrapped it up at Bemidji, and we talked a little bit about the 2008 season with Crosby making the state tournament. I'm not sure if you remember who else made the state tournament in 2008. The Minnetonka Skippers.
That's right. Yep.
In fact, they won the state tournament that year.
Yep.
That was the last time they'd won the state tournament till you guys did it this year. That's a pretty cool thing I thought when I was looking it up. Do you remember watching any of their games that season, Bryce, or that weekend at the state tournament?
Yeah, no, I obviously played AU with some of those guys and Andy Burns and CJ Erickson and Anthony Tucker. I just remember how good they were and how good that team was, and they were kind of the team that that was kind of the big Minnetonka Hopkins from what I remember. Those two teams had so many good athletes and so many good basketball players, and I remember watching that game after our game that day, and I had friends on Henry Sibley too that gave him everything in the first half. Henry Sibley was up quite a bit. That's when they had Bruzewitz and Peter Leslie and Noah Kaiser on the Henry Sibley staff, and or I should say roster. And yeah, Minnetonka had Andy Burns and CJ Erickson. We've had them talk to our team a little bit the past couple of years of the saying burn the boats. And that's, there was no tomorrow. That's all they had left, and they just put everything in to that season because they didn't get what they wanted to get done their junior season, and obviously they won it their senior season. So that 2008 team has been connected to our guys quite a bit the last couple of years, knowing that we potentially could kind of repeat the result they got back in 2008.
Yeah, I like that. Having some of those guys in, that's a really neat connection point. Again, 16 years later. So a lot of these kids that are on your roster, Bryce, are 16, 17. So they probably, weren't even barely alive when that happened and don't remember it. So it's neat to have that connection point to the last time that Minnetonka had, hoisted the hardware at the top of the podium. So that's really cool to hear. What did the school kind of react to and think of then with you guys, Bryce, having it been the first time in 16 years, and it's been, only a couple days, since you guys won the state title, but what's that been like?
Yeah, just an outpouring of support. When I got here 5 years ago, I knew this was possible. I knew it was going to take a lot of work, not only from myself but from the student athletes involved in the program. Obviously, you need. I think it all starts with support from the administration, and we have great administration here, the best I've been around from a high school setting, starting from, our athletic director Ted Schultz, all the way down to Paul Twenge and our principal Jeff Erickson, and the superintendent Dr. Peterson that hired me, and now with David Law as our superintendent. Everybody just gets that athletics are such a big thing when it comes to a high school setting, and we have great support not only from our admin, but also our youth program. We've connected that to our high school program as much as we can, and just to see everybody in the Minnetonka blue and their MBBA jerseys. Obviously, a lot of them, those teams come through every year to play at the Target Center with you guys offering that opportunity. So to see our high school kids back on that court and in the Target Center in Williams Arena, and to end it with a win, has just brought so much support back from our alumni. A lot of alumni have reached out that I have never even talked to or have been in connection with the last 5 years that I've been here. But I think it's got people excited about Minnetonka basketball again, and deservedly so. Our guys have put in a ton of time to put us on the map and to kind of reach that mountaintop, so to say.
Yeah, let's go before we get into this season, Bryce. You guys made state for the first time in a while last year. You got to the big dance, but obviously didn't end the way you were hoping. What was kind of the outlook or expectations then going into this season with the team from your perspective?
Yeah, you know, I think last year and how it ended kind of fueled these guys this year. Again, it was kind of like that 07 team that turned to 08 that won it. This was we had a great senior class this year, and a lot of our starters and minute guys were seniors, and this was kind of their last opportunity. So we talked about pouring everything in, investing everything in that we had to every single practice that we had, film session, weight room. How they handled their bodies on a day-to-day basis of recovery, and just their narrow focus of the goal at hand. And we knew it wasn't going to be easy from a conference section and state standpoint if we could get there. But if we could get back there, we wanted to change the result. Last year we went 0-2 in the state tournament, and it's not a lot. It's almost like you don't make it when you go 0-2, and you don't win that first game, and you're kicked over to Concordia St. Paul, which, again, a good college campus, but that's not where you want to be when you're playing in the state tournament. You want to be on TV, and you want to keep playing that next game from the winning standpoint. So I think it gave our guys a lot of perspective and experience of what it takes to win there. And like I said, those guys really wanted to change the result, and you could see that in how they played and how they approached the last couple of weeks here.
Did you do anything different in the summer, Bryce, leading up to it? Because I know a lot of times, things are built and philosophies are molded in the off season or in the summer, kind of leading up to the season. Did you feel like you needed to change anything in the summer, kind of leading up?
No, not really. You know, we've always everywhere I've been, I've kind of kept it the same. We go an hour and a half Monday through Thursdays and do a lot of skill sessions, and then we do some offensive build-up stuff. So we really didn't change anything there. We kind of changed our approach in practice, I would say, the last month and a half, 2 months of the season, where we really got after it on the defensive end, and I forced our guys to really communicate and get out of their comfort zones. I pushed some buttons normally that I wouldn't have pushed in practices. And again, this is new to me, but I knew I had a really good group of kids that if they reached their point and we were playing our best basketball at the end of the year, that we would have a shot at this thing. So I really kind of got out of my comfort zone a little bit too, of just we were going. A lot more defense in practice. We were doing a lot more conditioning. We were just kind of preparing for that moment. If practices were harder, I knew our games would be easier. And sometimes you try to make your practices easier at the end of it and kind of save your legs. But we kind of approached it differently. And last year at this point, I kind of relaxed a little bit too much looking back on it with our practices and maybe some of our game plan stuff. And this year we just went all in and we kind of laid it all out there. And obviously it worked out for this group.
Did you feel you were able to do that, Bryce, because of the players you had on the team?
Yeah, I think so. These guys were very tough-minded. They cared about winning. They didn't let any outside or external factors weigh into what we were doing inside when nobody was watching. Obviously, everybody's watching when we were playing, but the practices, the film rooms, the preparation, everybody was locked in. The last month, I wouldn't even let them have their cell phones around us when we were trying to prepare. We were just trying to eliminate all these distractions. So we were just so locked in, and usually I have my cell phone on me just in case of emergency with my kid or wife or something. And I was leaving my cell phone out just because we were just all in to this process and together. And again, these guys, you could really push them, but you could also really love them too. And I think they felt that that we wanted the best for them, and we just really wanted this group to go out the right way and to have that feeling that we got on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's good to see the hard work pay off. Was there a time during the season, Bryce, where you're like, hey, I think these guys got a chance?
Yeah, you know, I think there was I said this in our banquet tonight. There was a four-game stretch where we played basically the top of the Lake Conference back to back to back to back. There was a four-game stretch, and we went 2-2, and we during those four games we gave up an average of 92.7 points a game. And it was just, you know, it was bugging me just because we were trying to outscore teams, and that's just not a formula for success in March. And we kind of, I talked about this in a press conference, but we just had a heart to heart a couple of days in the film room and in games. Just told the truth and what needed to be changed. And from there, we changed the last five games of the year, all playoff games. We gave up an average of 58.1 points a game. So we knocked off about 33 points, which is huge. And again, it just really came down to, we switched a lot this year just because we didn't have a ton of size. But we just really dug in and played with a lot of energy, heart, and toughness. And we did all the little things that made us who we are and made us why we were playing in that last game and why we won it. We just did little things that led to the big thing.
So sounds like from what I'm hearing you say, Bryce, defense was kind of the big turning point for you guys, right?
Yeah, offensively we had enough scores and talent and skill there. It never really bothered me. It didn't keep me up. The defensive end and rebounding were those things that kept me up with this group, and they really bought into what we were saying as a staff. And they kind of realized when your careers are on the line, and you have to go 1-0, maybe coach is right and maybe that film is right. And they really dug in and bought in at the right time.
I love it. I want to read a quote for you, Bryce, here that I stumbled across, kind of researching this. The first couple of years that I had this group, they approached the game from an offensive standpoint. Minnetonka coach John Hedstrom said, "Tonight they showed that this season has been all about our defense. Our defense tends to get overlooked sometimes." That was from the championship game in 2008. How similar is that to maybe the way you kind of laid things out for the guys or approach the year?
Yeah, I mean, defense, there's a quote out there, and I can't remember if it was Hurley. Danny Hurley said it last year when they won, but defense wins championships, and then offense just usually tells you how much you're going to win by. So we've kind of really lived by that of, offense can win you some games, but a lot of times you just got to really dig in on that defensive end. And it just, when you get stops and you get deflections or turnovers, those energy plays on the defensive end can carry it over to the offensive end. So a very similar message and path there from that 08 team.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. And I knew you had talked about the defense, so I just thought I'd bring that up because I thought it was really neat that that almost mirrored kind of your philosophy at the end there.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's go to the end of the season, Bryce. I looked at your guys' record. You lost three of your last four games going into the playoffs. What was that like?
Well, it also speaks to the schedule that we played. The Lake
Yes.
Conference is one of the best conferences in the state, if not the best. A lot of great coaches, a lot of great teams, a lot of great student athletes. You're getting tested every time that you go out and enter just our non-conference schedule. We try to schedule. We don't schedule wins. We schedule teams that are going to prepare us to be our best. And a lot of times, you get caught up in your regular season record. But I take the approach of I don't care what a regular season record is. You just want to put yourselves in positions that you go into situations that you've seen before in the regular season when it actually matters. So, did it worry us? I mean, a little bit. When you give up 101 or 103 points to end the year at YZ again, who's was by far the best team during the regular season that we played. But it also gave us a lot of film and a lot of learning lessons that we could take into March. And I was never really worried about this group in terms of losing three out of four heading into the playoffs. We don't have the right chemistry, or we're not on the right foot to get this thing done. We just took it as, hey, we got to learn from it. We got to change it, and we improve from it. We'll start winning, and when it actually matters, and that's what we did. We tried to take the film room and our practice preparation up a notch, and obviously, we went 5-0 during that 2-week stretch when we needed to. But when you lose three out of four, a lot of coaches or players or teams or programs or communities would worry about that. But we weren't really worried about it. We just kind of took it as we got to learn from it and improve from it, and we did that just that.
Yeah, no doubt. And then you get into section play, Bryce, and you get to the championship game and almost didn't even make the state tournament. I mean, you had an absolute dogfight with Shakopee there that went into overtime. What was that game like?
Yeah, we knew we were going to play Shakopee again in the postseason. They had a great team. They're very well coached, and Jake Domin down there have a lot of respect for him and his staff, and just the way they approach things, very similar to us. And we knew, luckily, we beat them during the season to get that game at home. Our section awards the best team, high seed, with a home game. And I don't know if that played a factor in it or not, but it was a heavyweight fight, man. It went into overtime, and it was just a, it felt like a state semi, state final type environment type game. And they gave us everything they had and everything we had, and we were just a couple points better and very thankful. But we knew if we could win that one, we'd have a chance to obviously do some things at state, because you're probably eliminating probably one of the four or five best teams in the state with that win. And it was a great environment, a great game, and a great win. It just speaks to the volumes of our guys, because that was not an easy prep. In terms of what Shakopee does and what they bring on both ends of the floor. But very, very thankful and fortunate to obviously get that result on section final night to propel us to the state tournament.
Yeah, so then you get to the state tournament, Bryce. We'll kind of fast forward here, but you mentioned last year you went 0-2, and this year you start off 2-0, which is what obviously you want to do. So then you're sitting in the championship game, and who's sitting across from you? Your conference opponent, Wayzata. What when I say the number 19, what is that? What comes to mind?
Well, usually my good friend Adam Thielen on the football field, but I knew it was 19. Everybody knew it was 19. We just tried to do everything to not make it 20. We were kind of like, we took the approach of, they can have the 19 if we get the 20th, because everybody will remember that one. And I wasn't a part of all the 19. I was a part of a lot of those losses, just because we have never beat them since I've been here. But we were just trying to go 1-0 that day.
And because I had no idea, Bryce, that it was 19. I didn't know. Obviously, I'm not as close to it as you are, but man, that's something to overcome, that kind of, record that you guys have been facing them. Did you feel, taking that 19 straight losses, put that aside, did you feel like it helped or hurt you that you were playing a conference opponent in the championship game?
Well, our goal was to, as a staff, we never told our players this, but we wanted to, obviously, if we kept on winning, we probably would see them a third time, just because of how good they were and the team that they had. We kind of figured that they would have a good chance to be in that state final team game, or maybe we'd see them in the state semis. So we kind of figured that we would see them again. We also, in the first two games, didn't throw everything that we had at them in terms of a schematic approach of we didn't show all of our cards. We were saving a couple things just in case we did see them again. Because a regular season game is a regular season game, and when you got two teams from that standpoint that maybe are going to play again, that was kind of our inclination, especially within that second game, that we were going to maybe save a couple actions offensively and a couple things we did defensively to not throw them at them, and in hopes to get them a third time.
Yeah, and the big guy for them, Bryce, is obviously Jackson McAndrew. He's 6'9". How tall is your tallest player?
6'4".
6'4". So I looked it up. You guys out rebounded him 45-32. If I would have told you that at the beginning of the game, before you even tipped off, would you have believed that?
Well, as I told our guys, they can have size and talent and depth. We just need to have more heart than them, and toughness, just for them, for 36 minutes. That's the only guarantee, is 36 minutes. They outshot us, they out rebounded, they out toughed us, they out everything to us the previous two games that we've played them. And re realistically, every game that we've been here for 5 years, they've just have done that. They outed us in every single statistical category and every hustle play and everything else, outcoached, whatever. So we knew we had to find that heart and toughness for 36 minutes, just because they're longer than us. Jackson McAndrews is probably Mr. Basketball. He's a heck of a basketball player. Not a lot of kids are like that. Even in the country, you can't find a kid like that in a lot of different areas. So we knew we had a big challenge. I told our guys we didn't have to be perfect, but we needed to be great. And I think our guys really took that to heart. And we just kind of shored up a lot of those statistical categories that we didn't win the previous times, and found a way to win those individual battles the third time around.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that, Bryce, another one, two. How many? That's how many 3-pointers you guys made. Two. Again, just another amazing statistic that kind of speaks to what you said. It's not really about all of the statistics except for the one at the end, which is the most points, right?
Sometimes in those state title games, you just don't shoot it as well as maybe you would in the past, in a semifinal game or a regular season game. Just the added pressure, the environment to it, maybe that rim shrinks a little bit, or you don't catch it as clean. But when you make only two threes in a game like that, if you were to tell me that before the game, I'd be like, oh, I don't really like that stat. But we found ways to score in the paint and in transition, and we really had our defense create a lot of offense for us too.
Yeah, and let's talk about some of the players now, Bryce, for you guys, because I'm sure you want to, toot these guys' horns a little bit. But one guy that really gets into the paint, Andy Stefanowicz, I think he's really to me, the key that kind of drives your team. How big was he for you in this season, and not only the season, but this game in particular?
Yeah, he's a winner. One of the best I've ever been around, in terms of how he approaches the games, and how he prepares for the games. He doesn't care about any statistic. The only thing that he cares about is winning. And not only does he set himself up for success, but he's just an unselfish basketball player. He puts his teammates in positions to succeed, and just works. And he made both on both ends of the floor, defense and offense. He was just always around the ball, and whether if it was hitting a big three or getting it down in transition and setting themselves up for success. That was one of the better defensive games I've seen him play too, of just creating deflection steals and being a ball hawk around the ball. But can't say enough about Andy. He's been a 4-year starting point guard for us, comes from a great family, and has just been steady and consistent. He's going to have a heck of a college career at North Dakota State, and just one of those kids that you'll always remember that why you got to the mountaintop is because of kids like that.
How about his and one near the end of the game, Bryce, when he I thought he was going to keep it out and pull it out, and he ended up attacking the rim, and I think it was left-handed layup right in traffic. Well, how about that play?
That was sometimes you want the kids to pull it out and just run clock, but he had a different idea. And for him to kind of end his career, so to say, of kind of wasn't a game winner, but kind of a game clincher, that 3-point play just speaks volumes to kind of his competitiveness and not being afraid of the moment and taking advantage of it. But just a really cool play for him to kind of culminate his career as a Skipper.
Oh, it's something he'll remember for a long time, I'm sure. So he had 19 that night, Bryce, and then also co-leading him in scoring was Caden Wells. What could you say about his performance that night?
Yeah, no, he was incredible all tournament and all March. Whether if it was rebounding, defending, blocking shots, Wyzetta hard hedges a lot of ball screens, so he was able to get rolls and in the paint and finish. He was finishing over Jackson, finishing over long arms and a couple of bodies, and just wasn't afraid of the moment. He obviously scored 19, but he was just also a man on the boards. Also met Jackson at the rim and had a big block there in the second half, and was just made a lot of winning plays on both ends of the floor, and his energy and effort was just outstanding for the 36 minutes there in the championship game.
And then your third leading scorer that night, Bryce, Jordan Kane. What can you say about him and kind of his performance?
Yeah, just one of the most explosive kids that you'll see. He doesn't show a ton of emotion. He's pretty steady, but just makes winning plays. He can get downhill, might be a little undersized, but he just navigates his way through the paint to get into that pull up. or to get downhill, and is not afraid to attack the rim by or through somebody, and just had a great first half and made a couple plays in the second half that were just incredible, and really did a great job on Jackson too, defensively. It's not an easy task to be able to perform on the offensive end against them, but to have to be able to guard him for most of the game, and keep him in check and not allow him to go for 30 or 40, like he has in the past against multiple teams, was big time.
Yeah, and then how about as I'm looking at the box score here, Bryce, how about Issa El-Amin? Again, you're not a deep team, but he had your highest plus minus that night at plus 14. He only made one basket, but I think he had a pretty big impact on the game.
Yeah, no, him and Grayson were outstanding on the defensive end. They were kind of the catalyst to pressuring the ball and picking up, we call it 55, where our guys are basically in a man-to-man press for into the front court to back courts, and our guys just really got after the ball, and we wanted to be physical and try to take them out of their early action stuff. And Issa just sat in a stance, and we were switching a lot of stuff too. So that meant Issa, Andy, and Grayson were getting switched onto their bigs, and our guys were just doing a great job of communicating and playing through maybe some mismatches, quote unquote, and just finishing plays. So Issa and Grayson were just outstanding. Of creating ball pressure and not backing down in any situation, especially on the defensive end.
Yeah, and finally, how about Grayson Bryce? Bryce, I've known him for him and his family since he was a little kid, and one thing that comes to mind with him is just hard work, a hard worker. What can you kind of say about Grayson and in his career and what he's kind of blossomed into as a skipper?
Yeah, he's had a heck of a senior year. He's made big plays on both ends of the floor. He's put a ton of time. I don't know if there's a kid that's put in more time into his game from when he was a youth player all the way up now to his senior year. But hard work pays off. There's no substitute for it. Whether if it's been with us or Reed Osi with training or with his AU teams, he's just always invested in what he does and gives 100%, and he's a guy that's a winner and wants to show up and not only make himself better, but make his teammates better. And he was just, again, these guys were all about winning in March, and it was just really fun to see guys that maybe could have invested into themselves, that were invested into the team and in the program and getting us back to being state champions. So can't say enough about Grayson of all the work that he's put in, and enough all these guys 1 through 18 have just put in a ton of time to get us back to where we wanted to be.
And then how about at the end of the broadcast, Bryce, I was watching, you had some pretty big embraces with your staff. What can you say about your staff that's been there with you too through all this?
Yeah, I brought Kyle Kalpa with me from Eastridge, and the rest of them I retained from the previous staff. And Deion Richardson came back. He was previously on staff at Minnetonka and brought him back. But these guys have put in a lot of time through film work and then just preparing our guys through practices and games. And not everybody notices how much time go into these high school sports to compete at the highest level. And it's a 7 day a week job, and it usually doesn't just happen November through March. It's becoming a 12-month out of the year job, and our conversations happen on a daily basis, whether if it's a July day or a March day. We're constantly trying to put our program and ourselves in a position to succeed. So to have all that work from our assistants through March and through the off season, and to when we got here 5 years ago and we started this thing, we weren't very good. I mean, we were 12 and 15 and 6 and 12 my first 2 years, and everybody thinking that maybe this thing was going downhill and it was the wrong hire. But we changed that to the last 3 years, and obviously it's just a credit to not only our staff but our student athletes and families buying into our vision and our program and our philosophy around it.
Yeah, and I noticed you got a little emotional there at the end, Bryce. What was going through your mind there?
Well, I thought there was more time on the clock when there was 14 seconds. Our guys were celebrating a little bit, and it's Wayzata, and you can never really celebrate or relax around them. But we were up, I think we were up 9 or 10, and I brought our guys over. I'm like, hey, we still got to get a couple of stops and a couple of free throws here. And our assistant Kyle Kalpa looked at me. He's coach, it's over. It's 14 seconds left. You're gonna need a heavy miracle if they're gonna come back to this. So that last 14, I really just took it all in, and it was just a crazy atmosphere and environment, and in Williams, and to be in that moment. Obviously, you're prepared to be in that moment and want to be in that moment, but not everybody gets to be in that moment, especially on the winning side. And as a player, I was on the opposite side of that result. So just all the memories of that, and I looked over to my family, and it was just a really cool day and night for myself and our basketball program, and just our family as well. And it all the time that you put into this, it just feels like it all pays off once you get to that moment.
I'll leave you with one final stat from that game, Bryce, that I'm sure you're aware of, but if you're not, you'd lost to Wayzata 19 straight times. They never led in this game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's impressive.
Yeah, they they threw a couple punches at us and tried to get it down to one to two possessions, and our guys just withstood it. And we talked about that, that they were going to make some runs. Basketball is a game of runs, and for us to not give up that lead, or not turn that momentum over too much to them, and get them believing, was a huge credit to our guys, and just the toughness and the collectiveness that our guys played with. They were just calm, cool, and collected through the ups and downs in the game. And they were just really connected. That's probably the word that I've used the most with this group the last month, is we've just they've built a bond, and they've built a connection that's been about winning, and that's it, and that's what they got. So deservingly so. I'm proud of this group, proud of our staff, and just proud of our basketball community.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm sure you had a bunch of calls and text messages and stuff like that, Bryce, after all the hoopla. But was there maybe a most memorable text or call or note that you got from either a family member or a friend or maybe someone you didn't even know?
Yeah, well, I had a lot of numbers. I had over 500 messages when I got to my phone, and I had a lot of numbers that weren't saved on my phone, so I had to go back and figure out who those people were. I felt bad just because, everybody from my all the way from when I was young to now was reaching out, and that's what happens when you win. A lot of people reach out and come out of the woodworks, but I would say, obviously, I saw my mom after the game and talked to her, but a couple hours went by, and she just texted me again saying how proud she was. And it was just really cool to be in that moment. My dad has coached in a couple of state title games, and my mom never made the state tournament as a coach too. So my grandparents have won. My grandpa had won three. My brother Brock, as an assistant from Hopkins, had a couple when he was there coaching. My uncles had a couple in South Dakota that they won. So just to have my own, and my mom and dad know how much time I put into this. They were just so happy for me. So to have that embrace after the game in person, and for them to say it again in text was just really cool.
That's great. So, pretty cool stuff, Bryce. Now let's head into a place that's probably a little more stressful. Let's go into the bear trap here. Got some fun, quick hitter questions here for you. We'll start it off with this one. Best CI Ranger player of all time.
Well, it's got to be myself. So I,
All right.
yeah, I'll, it's there's been a lot of great basketball players. But I grew up watching guys that put a lot of time into it. The Reed Cushels of the world. Tyler Skull was a good basketball player. Scott Savore and those guys back in 99, 97. The 90s were when I was growing up, there was basically A lot of good basketball players and teams. I think they made the state tournament a couple of times there. I get asked that question a lot, and I always kind of rephrase the question back to them and ask them who they think they was, and they say me. So I'll quote unquote them say it was me. So.
Okay, we'll go with that. And then someone that's probably gonna, fight you for your crown here is this Tori Orline girl. You were the all-time leading scorer, boys or girls, Bryce. She has obliterated that, and she's
Yeah.
not even to her junior year in high school yet. How amazing is she?
Yeah, she's incredible. I got to watch her in the state tournament, and she doing the things that she's doing, especially at a young age. My buddy, Peter Vukelich, who I played high school basketball with same year, graduating class as their head coach. So he always keeps me informed, and I'm following along. But Tori's a heck of a basketball player, and she's a heck of a scorer. And you know, for how young she is, she's got a lot of points left and a lot of wins left in her. So it's really cool to see somebody that puts that much work and time into it have all this success. And she got a lot of good basketball ahead of her.
Yeah, no doubt. Favorite gym to coach in that isn't your home gym?
Favorite gym to coach in? That's a great question. I would say I really like going over to Hopkins. It's just got that Minnetonka Hopkins rivalry. Especially the last 5 years, it's got a cool atmosphere to it. And then you also get to play the breakdown events in there. So I just, you know, every time you're at Hopkins, it's packed. Not every gym that you go to has that feeling around it. And we've also won there quite a bit the last couple of years. So it's always a good feeling to go over to Hopkins and steal a win over there.
Yeah, anytime you can get your rival, that's a good one. Best player you've played against or seen on the court, Bryce?
Wow, that's another great question. So my junior and senior year of college basketball, I got to play with a kid named James Ellisor. He was a junior college kid that, again, in a lot of these times would have probably have been Division One, but my senior year of college, he was named the Division Two National Play of the Year, and he's still playing overseas professionally. So in terms of the best player I've ever played with, I've played a lot of against a lot of people that are in the league or through AU stuff, but the best guy that I can remember just playing with was James. He could score it with both hands, right and left, could dunk or over you or around you, and could shoot it, and that's the reason why he's still playing overseas. So I would say James Ellisor from Bemidji State.
Okay, I like it. Obviously, you're knee deep and or neck deep in basketball, depending on how you look at it all the time, Bryce. But what are some things you like to do away from the game or off the court?
Yeah, you know, I'm a workout warrior in the morning, so I'm up. One thing I'm not very good at is sleeping, so I'm a 3:30 to 3:45 guy. I'm getting up and going to Lifetime at 4. I try to win that race every day of trying to be in the top 5, top 10 of the first people to get to Chanhassen Lifetime. So that's kind of my space, hour and a half, where I can have my alone time. And I get a cardio, a lift, and a sauna, a steam in, and that's kind of a good way to start my day every single day. So that's one thing I really like to do. That's kind of that me time that I get every single day. But I also really like to golf. That's kind of my competitive thing nowadays, away from basketball. Something that I didn't play a ton growing up. But I've really fallen in love with the game, and just offers you so many different challenges and competitive things that maybe that are different from basketball, but still keeps me in that competitive environment. It's easier on your knees and Achilles and ankles too that playing basketball would be. So, but other than that, you know, I just like to be with my family and go to different sporting events and support other people that support me. And you know, it's just I just like being around sport and competitive people, so I usually find myself in those arenas on a daily basis.
And in there, Bryce, did you say sauna? I mean, are you like saunas? I got one now
Yeah,
in
I
my
know.
yard.
I keep up with you over there. That would be great. That's kind of my dream to have one in my backyard, so I don't have to go to Lifetime on a daily basis. But they got a cold tub now and Chan Lifetime too. So I mix that in as well. So it's I know that you enjoy it and I enjoy it, and it's kind of a great way to just relax and also sweat it out.
Well, can we get you over to the Bear's Den sauna sometime then?
Yeah, you just let me know. I'll be there.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. And then final question for you, Bryce, the one that we ask all of our guests, the same question every end of the show is who are your five favorite basketball players of all time? Again, these could be guys you watched growing up, they could be guys you played with, guys you idolized, whoever, high school, college, pro, but who are Bryce Tesdall's five favorite basketball players of all time?
Yeah, so I'll go with five actual NBA guys just because I really enjoy March Madness and the college game, but I've really kind of always been an NBA fan. Growing up, I was a big MJ guy. Of course, you know, it's just best player in the world, all that stuff. Kind of fell in love with the Bulls. Just with everything. And then when I transitioned to be a little bit older in high school and college, I became a Kobe guy. A lot of people disliked him or loved him or everywhere in between. So I kind of went from being a Bulls guy to a Lakers guy just because I kind of fell in love with those two guys. And then my third guy is a Wolves guy is KG. I mean, how can you not love KG? Just with again, when you started working with the Wolves, that was kind of the prime of KG and everything that was going on, and you just kind of fell in love with that intensity and winning that he brought to Minnesota. And then another guy that I kind of fell in love with the assist with Matt was Magic Johnson. Just the way he passed and the way he saw the floor, just watching film of him and seeing how he kind of took control of the game, and that no look pass or setting other teams up teammates up in transition was kind of cool. From my standpoint, being a point guard and a guard. And my last guy who I dreamed of shooting like him is in my form is Curry. I just the way his preparation and what he can do on the floor, I think has been you always hear the kids say it's either used to be Kobe, now it's Curry, when they're shooting threes, and people just try to emulate what they're trying to do. It's kind of all walks of life there when it's starting out with Magic and Michael and then going to Kobe and KG and now Curry. I think just five trendsetters with everything that they've done. But there's so many good basketball players, and it's you think of Anthony Edwards and what he's doing with the Wolves right now. He's just playing at the highest level and kind of bringing that spark back to Wolves hoops and just Minnesota hoops in general. You just love people that just love the game and love to win, and the production of it is just it's really cool. So I would say those five in a nutshell.
Okay, I love it. Love those five. Well, appreciate it, Bryce. So we're getting to the end of the show here, but so now you've reached the mountaintop and everything like that. What's next for you here in these next couple of months? Are you going to take a nap? Are you going to get some sleep? Are you going on
Well,
vacation?
I'm going to the Final Four next week in Phoenix. There's a
Is that an
couple.
annual thing that you
Yeah, it's
do?
usually an annual thing. So there's a handful of college coaches that go down, and we stay in Airbnb. So I'm bringing the golf clubs with. I'm bringing my assistant Kyle Kalpa with as well as a little treat for him at the end of the year. So we're gonna go down and golf a little bit and watch the Final Four games. And we also have spring break next week, so that will be nice. But I'm just gonna get back to being a dad and a husband too. Those things in the 5 months, there's a lot of nights away, and I'm usually kissing my daughter to bed by the time I get home. And you don't always get to make up those hours during the season of just being a dad and hanging out at home and trying to invest in your kids. And you try to find a balance, but there's not a ton of balance, especially when you play to the last day and you're trying to pour everything that you got into the team. So Just really connecting back to my family roots. Hopefully this winter weather goes away so we can start golfing here. We'll have to get a golf round on the summer books here, Maddie. But
Check.
really hoping to see the golf courses open back up so I can enjoy them. But and also we're just we'll take this week and next week, but we're gonna get back to preparing to get back to where we were on Saturday. It takes a lot of work and there's no rest. There's not a lot of time to rest and relax if you want to repeat or do it again. So we'll take a couple of weeks to enjoy this one. It will always, as Kobe said, banners hang forever. So we'll always have that one up there. But you flip the page into the new year and you want to go back to work and stay hungry with the next group. So that's kind of what we got cooking here to end the year and to start a new one.
That's great. Well, you had me at Final Four golfing and sauna. So that sounds like a heck of a couple months coming up for you. So that's great. But congrats again, Bryce, to you and the team and the coaches on capping off an outstanding season. So enjoy it for the next couple weeks, months, whatever it is, and good luck here kind of heading into the next season too. So
I appreciate having me on, and I look forward to hopefully a deep Timberwolves playoff run here.
yeah, absolutely. All right. Thanks, Bryce.
Thank you.